It's 88.5 FM, Jeff Penfield here with you, joined live in studio by Will Hoag, playing at the Moroccan Lounge tonight. From what I hear, it's going to be a rock and roll show. Going to be loud.
Yes.
Playing some songs from a new album, My American Dream. Thank you so much, first, for coming out and playing for us today.
Of course. Thanks for playing the record.
Yeah. And this one, you know, that we're getting a lot of albums and songs right now that are, you know, socially conscious, really yeah. focusing on the things happening in our world. But it seemed like part of this was inspired by the world your kids live in mm-hmm. and where it's going. How did they inspire what you were talking about throughout this record?
Well, you know, it was really interesting because my boys at the time of the last presidential election were in fourth grade and first grade. You know, that's pretty young to need to be paying attention to politics or to even want to be paying attention to it. And unfortunately, you know, there was just so much with language that is used and the things that are said about people. You know, those are things that are antithetical to what they go all day and learn in school, the way that you treat people and how you're supposed to talk to people and how you're supposed to look at the world. And then they come home and on the news, they hear this really ugly man say these really ugly things. And it's a hard thing to reckon with, you know, really innocent kids. And so there was a big part of it that was that. And then looking at it, you know, with all the kids in Parkland after everything happened down there, watching the youth movement really start to step up and use their voice. And then living in Nashville, you know, the lunch counter sit-ins and all in the 60s started with a bunch of high school and college kids at TSU and Fisk University. And so there was a lot of that ran through my mind too. And you realize that it's really it's the kids that always are the ones that force these changes. It happened in the 60s. It happened, and it'll happen again in this election cycle, whether it's this one or the next one or the following one. Hopefully it's a continuation of all of those things. But that was a big part of it, was watching my kids interact with their other friends who were all multicultural at this point. I mean, Nashville, as much as we give it a hard time for being this crazy Southern Bible Belt, you know, buckle city, is it's pretty hip, and they're starting to be more and more cultural diversity there. And it's really a welcoming place for that. And my kids helped me remember and want to reflect those things.
You can see this whole damn world get level. this whole damn world get level, not even lose track of time. Inside your gilded walls, they shine. Inside your gilded walls, they shine.
The songs that you wrote, it seemed like it was about stepping in someone else's shoes. It wasn't so much about, you know, this is what I think, these are the words. It's like, look, like, change your perspective, yeah, in terms of looking at through someone else's eyes. Like, mm-hmm, can you, what are a couple of the songs that did that?
Well, the big ones for me were The Illegal Line and My American Dream. The Illegal Line is a story of a father and a husband who is an immigrant and comes here, crosses the border illegally to work and find a job and try to make a better life for his family, and sends his money back home. And I think that that's a very realistic. My great grandfather immigrated here from Europe during the rise of Hitler, and you know, I mean, we're all immigrants, really and truly, at some level, at some point in our past, we all are. So that one was really important because I saw the dehumanization of, you know, when you start to call people illegals, you're already painting that in a really negative connotation, and I think that there's so much humanity in the willingness to do that. If you told me that there was no work, it was dangerous for my family in Tennessee, and it was illegal for me to cross the border to Kentucky and work and support my family, I'd do it in a second. And I think anybody that really takes a couple of deep breaths would probably say the same thing. And My American Dream was the same thing. It's a story of a guy who has, you know, lost everything, home, and his parents have passed away, and he just doesn't have any money, and he ends up homeless. And that was inspired. There's a really cool program that they started in Nashville a few years ago called The Contributor, and it's a homeless run and written newspaper. And they, you know, give these guys and girls an opportunity to stand on the corner and officially sell a product. And it's really helped lift a lot of people out of really, really serious poverty, and at least gotten them where they can start to have a job and insurance and or a place to live and things like that. And I read an interview with one of the guys that was one of the first homeless guys that started using that as a method. And one of the things he said was the hardest thing about being, somebody asked what was the hardest thing about being homeless. And it was interesting to me because I would think it was the roof over your head or not having a job or any of these things. And his thing was, he said, it's not being looked at like a human. When people pull up next to you on the street, and it's not that they don't give you money. Not everybody can give you money. But he said, it's when people don't even look at you like you're a human. And that really hit home with me. I mean, that's just one of those things, again, as just an empathetic human being. I hope maybe portraying that person in, it's not even a positive or a negative light. It's just a very honest and realistic, I hope, tale of that plight.
You told us all that this would be the biggest show that we had ever seen. You said it would be huge, the greatest of all time. Everybody could have everything that they had ever dreamed. Now the crowd is getting restless, thinking that you lied. The ringmaster is gone. It's just a clam down here alone. Oh, Mr. Barnum, won't you please take your circus back home.
Has there ever been any fear of the talking about these things negatively affecting your career, or have you seen it be the opposite? As
no, it negatively affects it for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are artists that start to not, you know, want to record your songs, and there's definitely fans, you know, that like one, you know, I have an interesting career. You know, I put a song out called The Ballad of Trayvon Martin, and the next thing that came out was a Chevrolet, you know, it was a song that I wrote that was in a Chevrolet truck commercial. So you get a lot of confusion when you have truck buyers that love your song, and then they come and you're singing a song about Trayvon Martin at the show. And yeah, they don't like it, and they don't come back, and they don't buy your records. And I don't know. It would be a lot smarter business for me to keep my mouth shut and just write songs about love and heartbreak and trucks. But I'd sleep really poorly at night doing that. And I'd have a hard time looking my kids in the face. You know, you can't say, go and make the world a better place, but be real quiet when you do it.
And tonight you're at the Moroccan Lounge.
Yeah.
Like I said, here it's going to be a rocket show. What type of show were you hoping to put on for this album? What are you bringing out on the road?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we did 3 weeks of headline and stuff right around the pre-release of the record. And then we did, we've just come off of 4 or 5 weeks opening for Social Distortion. And so,
that's a good one.
You know, that's been incredible, but we've come off, you know, doing 2-hour headlining sets to now doing 45-minute opening sets for a punk rock crowd who really tries hard not to like us. And then by the end, they're like, these guys are okay.
Well, I mean, Social D, that's Mike, is I think he's done a couple of country records himself. Well, like he believes in America, like that kind of sound.
He does. And it was cool. You know, we would tell everybody every night, because that tour came about because he heard a song out here on the radio and said, you know, who is this guy? And picked us to come on the tour. And it was funny. You know, we'd do 3 or 4 songs each night in the band, and the crowd would, they were okay. And then we would tell the story about, you know, Mike handpicked and called personally for us to be on this tour. And then the crowd, the rest of the, you know, 4 or 5 songs, was totally committed.
1, 2, 3, 4. He had a ringing soap sticker on the window of a car. Back seat like a hotel, front seat like a bar. Two and the Pixies on that old Mac cassette, black nails shaved.
Will Hoag here, live in studio, playing at the Moroccan Lounge tonight. New album is called My American Dream. Thank you so much for coming in.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
It's 88.5 FM.